And now, here is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Light is one of the great concepts in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New. In the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible, the word light, both singular and plural, appears 13 times. Please listen to these familiar words. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Genesis 1, 3 through 5, 14 through 18. Many times, perhaps most of the time, the Old Testament uses the word light of physical light, just as Moses does in Genesis 1. But the book of Psalms and other Old Testament books also use the word of spiritual light. The following verses from Psalms will make that truth abundantly clear. David affirmed, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 27, 1. The psalmist prayed, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." Psalm 43, 3. The best known use of the word light in the book of Psalms is probably this: "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119, 105. The word light in these verses has nothing to do with the sun, the moon, or the stars. It refers to the spiritual light God brings into our lives when we live in harmony with His will. The book of Isaiah also uses the word light of the truth and righteousness God would send into the world. The great messianic prophet pleads with the Israelites, "O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord." Isaiah 2, 5. Isaiah warned the Israelites about confusing light and darkness. "Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Isaiah 5, 20. Our text today comes from the prophecy of Isaiah. "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and after it did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations." The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them light has shined. Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. Isaiah wrote his book about 750 years before Christ. In speaking of the great light, could he have had in mind the coming of Jesus Christ, the light of the world? Please listen to the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the prophecy from Isaiah. "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast in prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelled in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." The people who sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Matthew 4, 12 through 16. Although the Apostle John makes no reference to the prophecy from Isaiah, it cannot be doubted that he applied the ideas from Isaiah to Jesus Christ. In fact, John used the word light of Christ more often than the rest of the New Testament writers combined. Please listen to the introduction to the Gospel according to John. In Him, that is, in Christ Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, that lights the way of every man who comes into the world. John 1:4-9. Our Lord criticized the people of his day for failure to recognize the light. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone who does evil hates light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God. John 3:19-21. Jesus Christ claims to be the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. Our Lord also said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 9:5. John affirmed that Jesus Christ is the true light that lights the way of every man who comes into the world. John 1:9. In what areas of our lives does Jesus Christ provide light? Paul does not use the word light, but there cannot be any doubt of his meaning when he told the Corinthians, but unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24. The same apostle assured the Colossians, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3. Through the ages, men have longed to know if God exists and what kind of being he is. Strange ideas about God have permeated virtually every culture in the world. Athens, Greece, was the world's most intellectual city in the ancient world. In fact, more than 2,000 years later, we are reading and examining the works of Plato, of Aristotle, of Heraclitus, of Thucydides, and of many other Greek scholars. But Athens was filled with idols. The Greeks may have worshipped as many as 30,000 gods of their own making. When the Apostle Paul visited Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Acts 17:16. He must have wondered how such smart people could worship pieces of stone or of precious metal. Jesus Christ came into the world to shed light on who God is. The Apostle John affirmed, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. John 1:18. The word declared comes from the Greek word meaning to explain, to reveal, to make known. The literal meaning of the Greek is to draw out or to lead out. In very simple words, Jesus Christ draws out or makes known who the Father is. New Testament students can know more about God than any other people in the world, because we not only have God's revelation in the Old Testament and in nature, but we have God's Son as a revelation or an explanation of the Father. Would it be legitimate to say, the more we know about Jesus Christ, the more we know about God? It would be impossible in our short study to review all that Jesus said about God. But let us look briefly at some of Christ's statements. In his great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus assured his disciples of God's knowledge of their needs, even before they asked him for his blessings. He then encouraged his disciples to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Matthew 6:8-9. He urged his followers not to worry, but to trust in God to supply their needs. Therefore take no thought, literally do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:31-33. Our God, Jesus plainly taught, cares for every phase of our lives, our food, our clothing, and our shelter, as well as for our spiritual being. No fact makes that truth more meaningful than God sending His Son into the world to share our burdens and our experiences. The author of Hebrews explains, "For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hebrews 4:15-16. The same author adds, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them who obey him." Hebrews 5:8-9. Jesus came into the world to teach and to do the will of his Father in heaven. He told his disciples, "My meat is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work." John 4:34. He also said, "He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." John 8:29. When Christ healed the man who was born blind, he informed his disciples, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work." John 9:4. John 13 tells of Christ washing his disciples' feet. He asked them if they knew what he had done. He then said, "For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." John 13:15-17. The modern radical feminists and some liberal theologians object to the Bible's use of the word Father when speaking of God. They claim that some religious organizations have used the word as an excuse for abusing and oppressing women. That may be true in some cases, but it provides no excuse for not referring to God as Father. Jesus called God Father when he prayed. In his high priestly prayer, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." John 17:1-26. If Jesus Christ addressed God as Father and taught his disciples to do so, the radical elements in our culture are barking up the wrong tree when they criticize us for calling God our Father. Do you remember the words of Jesus as he was at the point of death? "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Luke 23:46. What a wonderful blessing that Jesus revealed God as our loving Father. Many of the Old Testament prophets predicted the coming of the kingdom of God. I shall take time to read just one of the prophecies that foretold the coming of Christ's kingdom. The prophet Daniel outlined the three world kingdoms that would follow the Babylonian Empire. He then said, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall never be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Daniel 2:44. The kingdom Daniel had in mind can only be the kingdom of Christ, the church of the living God. And it makes no sense at all to speak of postponing the kingdom because the Jews rejected the king. Time prophecies cannot be postponed. if the prophecies were not fulfilled at the time the prophets indicated. The prophet who made the predictions was a false prophet. Deuteronomy 18, 21 and 22. John the Baptist, the great prophet who prepared the way of the Lord, came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 3, 1 and 2. The expression "at hand" means very near, not thousands of years in the future, as premillennialists teach. Paul used the same expression when he said to Timothy, "The time of my departure is at hand." 2 Timothy 4, 6. He could hardly have meant that his death was several thousand years in the future. John meant that the kingdom of God was right around the corner. Jesus came preaching the same message. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Matthew 4:17. Although Jesus did not specifically affirm the church is the kingdom, what did he mean when he informed his disciples, "Upon this rock I will build my church," and then promised, "I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Matthew 16, 18 and 19. Was Christ building one institution, the church, and giving the apostles the keys to another institution, the kingdom? The church of our Lord is the kingdom of Almighty God. Colossians 1, 13. Revelation 1, 9. It is almost certain that all thinking people from the time of Adam and Eve until today have wondered if there is life after death. In my more than 60 years of preaching, I know I have mentioned heaven or eternal life thousands and thousands of times. The golden text of the Bible could hardly be plainer in its promises of the life to come. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3, 14 through 17. In his parable of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ assured all his faithful followers, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." John 10, 10. No words in Scripture have been more inspiring and comforting to me than these. "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John 14, 1 through 3. Do you not want to spend eternity with God and the saints of all the ages? I shall not take time today to discuss the light Jesus Christ has brought to bear on the moral values God demands of his children. I shall read just one passage. The Apostle Peter asked Jesus to tell them a parable. He said, "Are you also yet without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever enters in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out in the waste? But those things that proceed from the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Matthew 15, 15 through 20. I do want to make two comments about Christ's moral teaching. He taught and exhibited the highest moral standards the world has ever known. Just think of the enormous changes our world would experience if all people imitated the gracious life and teaching of Jesus Christ. Since Jesus is not physically with us today, how does his light illuminate our world? The Bible leaves no room for doubt. Christians are the light of the world. All of us are familiar with these stirring words. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all who are in the house. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:14-16. The light of Jesus must shine through faithful Christians. In his letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul employs the same language. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He pled with some of the Ephesians. Wherefore he says, Awake thou who sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Ephesians 5:8-14. Paul called the Thessalonian Christians children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. In 1 John, the inspired apostle uses the word light 6 times. John assured Christians, If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. When we take into consideration the tenses of the verbs in this verse, it reads, If we continue to walk in the light, just as he is in the light, we continue to have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, continually cleanses us from all sin. Please listen to 4 other verses from this same little book. Again, a new commandment I give unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light shines. He who says he is in the light, and hates his brother, is in darkness even until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. He who hates his brother is in darkness, and walks in darkness, and knows not where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. 1 John 2:8-11. I plead with you today to walk in the light of the gospel. Thank you for listening, and may God continue to bless you.